WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore. Positively summertime here. I've been flying solo this year, spaceship, for a period of time, but Don Mohler is going to be joining us for at least this portion of the programming, a breath of fresh air. All of our WNST programming brought to you by our friends at Fadley's. Fadley's Seafood, shipping those crab cakes. It's been a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be honest, because I'm doing this tour and because I'm going to be having crab cakes everywhere and every day, I've been craving of like a crab cake, and I've been trying to stay away from it. So when I get over the Fadley's, I'm probably going to wind up going oyster, fish, rockfish, bring that home, caper it and lemon it all up. But they're open. The city is open. We're all open. Uncle Larry's got us open at this point. Get down. Support our friends at Fadley's. Make sure you see us at it. Stay Fair doesn't need you on the 4th of July. Don's already got his seat out there. They'd love to have you, but it's going to be mob. It's going to be festive and all that. I'm going to slide in on Thursday and get a little chicken and waffles before the mess begins around there all weekend long. Don, I got a story for you. And before we welcome Martin Knott in here, because it does involve him, I did my citizenly duty. Is that a word? Is that the right word? Last week?
We'll take it. We'll make it a word if it's not a word.
I got the little form.
Citizenly. Close enough.
The little form that comes, it says, please report to jury duty on Wednesday morning, right? So yeah. I stopped by Royal Farms, took a picture, picked up some fried chicken. I went in there. Yeah, summons. That scares the dish out of you, right?
You did it to me. I got one as soon as you, one.
Yeah, I still got me. Here, right here. Yeah, jury commissioner, right, okay. So we all get the same stuff, right? So last Wednesday, I go in.
Great people at once.
Martin Knott is here from AIR, Advanced Indoor Resources, but AIR. So Martin, I walk in. My wife made sure I got there on time. I'm at Royal Farms. I'm taking selfies. I went to the wrong place, went to the side door, worried about the COVID. I check in. I sit down in my own little room. I got a desk. I mean, they gave me like an office. It was nice. Big chair. Appreciate you, Brandon. Thank you. I sit down and the little video comes on. And the first thing they say is, welcome. You signed in, all that. And then the next thing is, we have fresh air in here. There's ventilation in here. I'm thinking to myself, they didn't say this the last 13 times they've called me in for jury duty. And I thought of you. And I think I texted you from there because I was a little bored until they threw me out a couple hours later. And I said, they just gave me a video on air in buildings. And Don, I love when we have friends that are smarter than us, which is pretty much everybody, because I know where we went to school. And they tell us a year ago that this is going to be the thing. So Martin, I just want to welcome you in. You're a pal of the show. I know the Dead's on tour, John Mayer, my kids ended all that. So it's busy for you right now. So I appreciate you taking some time, brother.
Well, busy with an amazing startup that has, you know, provided opportunities for, you know, now up to 13 people to take their careers to another level and, you know, have responsibilities that they might not have had, you know, short of this company coming alive. And so it's great to watch, you know, my, you know, fellow Marylanders and, you know, people that live around the state, you know, joining the company. We're attracting, you know, awesome, awesome people. And we're, you know, we're growing. We've secured $250,000 in service contracts. So we're 83 days old today. And, you know, we scored $250,000 in service contracts, over $1 million in booked revenue. And, you know, it's been an awesome lesson in relationships and how important they are in someone's career. You know, Nestor, you've had relationships with people that have advertised with you for a long, long time. You know, Don Mohler, you don't get to be county executive and or chief of staff or county executive, whatever it may be, without understanding how relationships work and how important they are to the fabric of our lives. You know,
I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there for a second because, boy, bing, home run, right? It's every time I talk to any group, whether it's a civic group, a college class, a group of folks working on their PhDs, a leadership group, you name it. Anytime I talk to any given group, I really always start with the big R, which you just hit out of the park, right? It is absolutely relationships. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But It really isn't. And it really is that stuff that our moms and dads tried to get us to understand.
Play nice in the playground
about being nice. It is, Nestor. I mean, talk about that, Martin, as you're out there starting again. It's about how you treat people. It sounds so simple, but it can be so hard.
Right. And it's relationships with, potential employees or people that you're working with that are unbelievably important, if you're going to go do a startup, and the relationships with your potential clients. And you learn, and I've been so humbled by, the relationships and my friends that have come forward and stepped up and said, hey, we're gonna help you lift this company off the ground, because that's what they're doing.
Well, I mean, it's nice that you're a nice guy and you got a background, but you got an idea. It goes back to me being in a jury room, and the first thing that the government wants me to know as a jurist is that the air I'm breathing is safe. When you get on a plane now, people have questions about this in a way that maybe they did in Beijing, when you show up and you can't look out the window, literally, but maybe in LA with smog or whatever, but indoor air quality is probably in the back end of this, the next 10 or 15 years, going to be a question we all ask, certainly for our kids in a school, right?
Well, here's sort of the deal. Shouldn't we be asking that question? Don't we all want to be breathing good air all day? If you walked into the woods and you were there was a fire or something, would you stand there and breathe the air? You probably wouldn't, you'd like, no, okay, I probably should walk over here and breathe because it's going to be more healthy. And so consciousness of the quality of air has gone way up in the human mind. And so, the pandemic has brought that forward. And, people are asking, what's going on in my buildings? All of the major property management firms around the world are seeing surveys come back. All kinds of surveys coming back. People want to know what's going on with the air that I'm breathing in the building. And quite frankly, look, I could give you a, 30-second air lesson. How about that? Can we do that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I would just say, maybe you can't smell it, right? Like, my wife got leukemia twice from standing in the streets of New York 4 days after 9/11 there on a work mission, found out 20 years later to find out. But, she didn't think it. It was possible, right? You just the air you're breathing or where you're living. Certainly we hear of these tragedies, people dying of carbon monoxide, indoors and those kinds of measurements. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Teach me.
Okay. So pretty straightforward, believe it or not, high quality indoor air is, really defined by three things. The temperature, right? So the human being, is, at its best when it's between 68 and 76 degrees, right? That's
what our body wants to bring in, right? Okay.
Well, it just makes us, we're not distracted. We're not too cold. We're not too hot. We're where we, people fall in that range. Some people are 68 people, they like it a little colder. Some people are, the 76 people that, like it a little bit warmer, right? So temperature matters. Humidity matters, right? Certain amounts of humidity, you have too much humidity in indoor air, over 60%, you're going to start growing mold. Last time I checked, mold's not so good. And, there's a whole mold remediation industry because nobody's been paying attention to humidity in buildings, okay? And then you've got carbon dioxide. And you're really looking at carbon dioxide, but it really defines how much oxygen there is in the air, right? And so you never want your carbon dioxide level to be more than 700 parts per million than it is outside. So if outside is 400 parts per million and you're running at 1200, everybody's falling asleep. People are getting headaches. You know, the productivity goes down.
Deprivation. It's not the big, literally, right?
Totally. Because, you know, you'd be surprised. You walk into a room. If we got into a small conference room and we just watched and we had a carbon, you know, dioxide monitor, you know, sampling station right there in the room, as us three, and especially we're talkers, right? Like we're breathing, we're talking, right? And you would see the carbon dioxide level, just watch it. We could watch it like a clock on the wall go right up. And it would very quickly.
Because we're breathing out, there's no fresh air coming in, right? That,
well, not
like a
enough.
Bad airplane, right?
That's exactly right. And so, you know, those three things, humidity, temperature, and carbon dioxide levels, determine overwhelmingly the health of indoor air. And so that's what we've been focused on. You know, the CDC and ASHRAE and other sort of governing bodies out there have said, hey, just get as much indoor air or as much outdoor air inside as you possibly can. Because what we had in the pandemic was a ventilation problem. People were transmitting the disease in restaurants, in, you know, offices, you know, in homes, in gyms before we closed everything down, because we have a ventilation problem in this country. We don't pay attention to it enough. It's not necessarily mandated. Yes, there are rules when you build a building, it's got to have these capabilities, but very quickly, sometimes those capabilities are shut down. And the reason they're shut down is, you know, nobody's really paid attention to it up until now. And guess what? Outdoor air costs money. You got to heat it up or cool it down, depending on when your season is. And so, you know, the more outdoor air you're bringing into your building, the more you're paying in energy costs, because you got to do something with it. You know, it's not always what you want it to be, you know? And so Mother Nature doesn't, you know, she serves up what she wants to serve up, and you got to deal with that. And so what we've been doing is saying, hey, let's monitor these important factors in air. And we've developed a product called Vision Air. And why do we call it Vision Air? Because you can now see the quality of the air in your house, in your apartment, in your building, in your part of the building in real time. And so we are in the final stages of closing a couple of deals. We've got one up and running here at our office. It's really cool. And we're, you know, playing around with it here. We've got a couple of opportunities in the marketplace, big time companies looking at it, because these owners want to be able to say, hey, I am addressing indoor air quality in my building. It will get them leased up if owners are conscious of this, because the GSA and all these major companies are all rolling around, and the language that wasn't there, you know, prior to March of 2020 is now there, which says, can you tell us how many outdoor air exchanges you're getting per hour in your building? And, or, you know, can you tell me how you're managing indoor air quality in your building?
Those, or can you tell a juror sitting in a government building that they're not getting COVID sitting there, or whatever, right? And as you're wearing a mask, like, in
your
the middle
experience
of jury
was, right. Like the, and because you're gathering a lot of people into a small space, I've been down to that courthouse. I live in the city also, and I've been in there for jury duty myself. And, you know, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of fresh air rolling in there. But the reason is because you got a bunch of people in the room. And if there isn't the right amount, it, the carbon dioxide starts to go up. And, you know, next thing you know, people
are making bad decisions with justice.
Well, perhaps, you know, if we want to have another excuse, that may be one. But, you know, we
I
want
to reset
know
here.
Wanted to know it.
Martin Knott is here. He's with AIR. Don Moeller is here, of course, from Baltimore County Executive and my partner. Crime. Don, go ahead, because I know you've, like, you always come with a list of things. I always call this a social studies, because it's a little bit of a science class today, though.
Yeah, advanced,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, founder and CEO, Advanced Indoor Resources, AIR. So a couple of thoughts, Martin, as you're speaking. I know, having spent years on both school system side and the government side, when we would go to build either a school particularly in later years, or a government building at rec center, we would all strive and be very proud of seeking LEED certification, right? We'd want to be LEED Platinum, which meant that we were an environmentally sound building, getting the highest rating you can for energy efficiency and all that. Is there any kind of rating coming forward that will look at air in that same way, so that companies like yours, and you're truly on the cutting edge, will be able to say, "We, if you do this, you'll meet certain certifications." Is there an equation to what we know as LEED certification?
Yes, that's a great question. Look at Don Mueller with the LEED questions, huh? Platinum Don Mueller.
A little scary.
Yeah, we're going to start calling him Platinum Don. So, you know, LEED is a really good start in that direction. And, you know, oftentimes a LEED building is going to have a much higher capacity for bringing in outdoor air because, you know, they realize that healthier buildings are ones that are bringing in more outdoor air.
Were buildings ever designed for this? It's not economical. Like all these buildings behind me, even hospitals to some degree, right? Like Hopkins was built 100 years ago, parts of it, maybe newer parts would be, but sure. Like where does the line draw in technology? I mean, I often wonder that in like places like San Francisco where they had earthquakes. Like at what point did you start to put that into the design?
Right. Well, I mean, it's been in the design for a while, but now that design is, you know, it's going from the green stuff and now it's going to sort of, you know, green, you know, and so you're going to see, I'm sorry, clean buildings, right? And so there's all kinds of companies, fitwell.org and others, you know, clean.org that are coming out with building rating systems for cleanliness. And so that's sort of a new thing. But the system that we are selling is a real-time indoor air quality monitoring system. And you would think that that would meet any standard and or, law that the, you know, government may pass to say, hey, you got to be certified. We want to see that you're certified. You know, look, they're making hospitals, do all these certifications for the recirculation of air, the air changes. You know, if you have a operating center, you know, there's all kinds of regulatory stuff that has happened.
Well, my wife was neutropenic in half a coma sitting over on the fifth floor. All I could think about was the air killing.
Well, that air is 100% outside air. The fifth floor Weinberg, I've happened to spend a few days up there myself and 19. And so that air in there is 100% outside air. That building is, and there are many buildings like that on the Hopkins campus that are able to supply 100% outside air. Most of the cancer research buildings are, you know, 100% outside air because they got all these labs that are, you know, moving air out of buildings, right? And so with that, you got to make that air up, because otherwise the building would sort of go into a negative. You wouldn't be able to get in the doors, right? If all the air is being sucked out of the building, you're trying to get out of the building, you know, the doors are getting sucked in, literally pressure. And so, you know, when you hear the whistle,
like a dome, whistling, literally, right?
Here's a little piece for you. If you hear whistling in like an elevator, that means that the building's sort of not, it's sort of out of balance, right? You got too much going out and, you know, so that whistling that you hear.
That's really great, Martin. Half the world has phobia about elevators, and now you've just added to it. Now they're going in. Now they're listening to the whistle. So you've just freaked out half of our listeners.
It doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means
doesn't mean
that,
it won't go
know,
up and
there's
down,
a
right?
negative pressure in the building. That's all.
Listen, I know from the feedback that we get that a fairly large portion of our listening audience are small businessmen, small business women who listen, give us a lot of feedback on the show. They're out there now, they're driving around, they're listening, and they're saying, you know what? This thing that Martin Knott and Advanced Indoor Resources Air, the thing he's talking about, that's something I want to know more about. So Mowers Widgets is in their car, and they get back to the office, and they say, hey, call this guy, Martin Knott at Advanced Indoor Resources Air, and let's see what this is all about. So give us
this isn't a residential thing right
imagine,
now, right?
Say that again.
No. This is really for big buildings right now, right?
Well,
eventually you'll get to my thermostat right down the line.
Well, here's the cool thing is that we have discovered a thermostat that does all three, that monitors CO2, temperature, and humidity at the same time.
There you go.
And you could put it into a house and then know those values. You know, it might cost you a little bit to like pop it up and get it on the internet, because I don't think that stat is ready for that. But trust me, the industry is on the verge of responding.
It's coming fast, you know,
the Nest
coming soon.
Yeah.
The Nest thermostat will be, you know, if those guys are smart, they're already expanding that to monitor CO2 and maybe even CO, carbon monoxide, which is not good for you, and humidity and temperature. So it's already being done. And so if you're a homeowner and you're interested in that, those are coming. If you are coming back to an office building, everybody knows all these office buildings. There's thermostats everywhere. I predict here, I don't know what the day is, it's the 23rd, that in 10 years, 80% of office space will, all the thermostats that control 80% of the office space will be multifunctional thermostats.
Well, let's go back then. I want to go back to my question. And rather than Moeller's Widgets, let me take a small business that I know a little bit about. Moeller and Gary Reeler, my son Jeff Moeller, has an office building up here in Catonsville, serves the greater Baltimore area all over the state. So he hears this and he says, hey, Dad, I'm going to call Martin Knott. Walk us through a four dummies approach that you now, okay, you get this call from Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary Realtors, and he says, I'd like you to come out, take a look at my office. Walk me through what AIR does for Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary and how you approach it.
Right. So the first thing that I would do, obviously, you know, just taking the call, get the information, and then I'd pass that off to my buddy Bob Maloney, who's over here with me. He knows a little bit about emergency management. He's a former head of emergency management for Baltimore City. I know you know him, Don.
Sure.
Nestor, you probably know him as well. He's our COVID mitigation specialist here, and he would come out to the building, do an assessment, come back with recommendations, different levels of recommendations along that go along with different levels of spend. And so depending on, you know, how much that you're interested in investing in a system, you know, the system can do, you know, be looked at in stages. And so ultimately getting to the point of Vision AIR, which is real time indoor air quality management, you know, anytime you're in there, you want to see it right up on your website. You can put it in a lobby on a screen. That's where buildings are going. You walk into buildings today and you see the screen on the lobby and it says the directory and then it flashes to the weather. The next flash is going to be, you know, Vision AIR, which is, you know, this system that we've developed for being able to see the quality of the air.
Then, Martin, do you then as a company and Nestor, I know we've got a tight time schedule here going on, because I do want to ask both you and Martin, once we wrap up this air thing, I want to get both your reactions to the breaking news. We always have breaking news about what's about to happen to Royal Farms Arena. But before we jump there, Martin, once you do that assessment at a Moeller and Gary and Bob goes out and he takes all his measurements and all his readings, do you then work with the owner, in this case, a Jeff Moeller, to connect them to contractors to do the work? Or do you have subcontractors? How does the process then work for the small business guy?
So we have a, you know, for the small business guy, we'd come back with a proposal. Here's a couple of different things that you can do to address indoor air. You know, what's your appetite and what's your, you know, for the financial side. And we can do everything soup to nuts. They don't need to go beyond air. If they have an existing contractor in place, you know, we can, you know, replace that person and or, you know, work with them as well to help deliver the system,
right,
you know, in a, you know, a congenial way. And so, you know, I think that it is, you know, we want people to learn about it. You know, we're doing something that's really cool here with Vision AIR. We don't know of any other companies that are out there doing that. But they're going to be doing it because this is what's going to be required in buildings. And people, you know, it's about time that we actually started thinking about the quality of the air, not only in buildings where people work, but how about our classrooms? You got 28 kids in a box that's, you know, 20 by 30.
I can smell the stale air in Colgate Elementary as you sit here and talk to me about it. I can smell it from 1978. And no one spent more time in beating up high schools than you, Don, right? Literally. Right?
I lived some nightmares back, you know, in the late 90s, late 90s, particularly with air quality at some of our schools.
Give me a nightmare. What's a nightmare?
The nightmare is the one
that
Martin alluded to early in this discussion. Schools, because of indoor air quality and some other things, developing real mold issues and children and teachers getting sick. Martin, you'll remember, I mean, a county office building that we ended up having to shut down. I wasn't with the government side at that time, but mold issues in that county office. But this is a real thing. This is what Martin Knott does.
This wrecks places. This wrecks companies, wrecks lives, literally.
Yeah, you used the term.
Man. And why aren't we paying attention to it? This is our health. I mean, gosh, it's like air and water. If we don't have these things, we're done. We're human beings. We need air every second, and it should be quality. There should be a carbon dioxide sampling station in every classroom in America.
Martin, where can they find you?
Folks, every college, folks, everywhere.
Folks out there right now, now they're getting jazzed up. They're listening to this and they're saying, man, I want my boss. I want my company. I want to do it myself. Where do folks?
We've all been in a room where we yawn too much.
Where do folks find you, Martin? Make it easy for them.
Yep. All they got to do is come to theairllc.com, and you know the website will tell them exactly what to do.
In another air, week, airllc.com. Hey, before I let you go,
theairllc.com.
Before you get out of here, you and Nestor, because both, I can't think of a guy, you guys love concerts. You guys probably love concerts more than anybody I know. You are the concert guys. How did you guys react to the Kevin Durant news that just broke? His company, 35 Ventures, Oakview Group, supposedly coming to an agreement with the Baltimore Development Corporation to bring $150 million renovation to rural farms. You guys are the first I'm getting to ask about this. React.
Go ahead, Martin. You got a building perspective emotional perspective.
I got a couple of things. Number one, I think they have an awesome opportunity to do something really special with an indoor arena. You know, if I'm spending $150 million on an indoor arena, I want people thinking that they're going to be safe when they walk through the door. And that is a perfect, you know, and if it already doesn't have an enormous capacity to bring in outside air, it's a really good opportunity for them to focus on outside air and be able to, you know, make that place safe. And a place that, you know, 15,000 people want to get packed in to see Dead and Company or, you know, whatever it might be. And I think,
do you remember going into that building specific, Capitol Center too, back in the 80s when you could smoke inside? Like, what a rock concert looked like. Not the weed. I'm talking about just the cigarettes. You know, at the top of, you'd look up and you couldn't see the ceiling from all of the cigarettes. Like, we've come a long way.
You were smoking even if you didn't want to smoke.
We've come a long way because I've seen Ehrlich, and I want to give him a kick in the nuts right now because I feel like it, because it's on my mind. He's doing these ads about we're getting shots. A year ago, he and his wife were making fun of people like me wearing a mask. I saw it. So anyway, but I was sitting in Annapolis, first time I was in Annapolis by the State House in 20 years, Don, the other day. You saw my picture down there. And I was sitting in the State House, and Bob Ehrlich said to me, there will never, ever be a smoking ban in bars in the state of Maryland. Because I had come back from like Florida and California, places where like I had a sport coat and a bar and it still smelled good at the end of the night. He said, it'll never happen. 3 years later, it happened. Now, 20 years later, a plague. Now we want to know exactly what the air quality is in the bar. Like literally, that's how far we've come, right?
No. I love that you made that connection, Martin, to the hopefully the new arena. You know, because I'm the old guy here. Nestor, you mentioned the 80s. I remember, and it's funny, I had a flashback today because I can remember being really angry back in the 60s. I used to love going, my brother and I would jump the number 8 a streetcar, go down and watch the Clippers, watch the Bullets. I always joke that Wayne Curry was D.C., Don Mulwer was Baltimore. The one thing we could agree on is we both loved Earl the Pearl, you know. So we did have that in common. Nestor, you had a
– So you saw those guys play like Oscar Robinson? Like you saw all that?
Oh, man. I was
– The number eight.
Gus Johnson. I was there. You know, I saw Elgin. The Big O. Every single one of them.
This is like Martin. I'm going to ask you this. How long have you known Mulwer?
Oh, geez.
20 years. 15,
do you know? Do you know that he's a doctor and he doesn't brag about it? Did you know that? I didn't know this until about 6 months ago, and I had to drag it out of him. It all started with the Joe Biden thing, but I didn't know he. So these are things I don't know about you, Don. Well, we got to do a throwback on Clippers and Bullets.
Marcel Paye, you know, for the Clippers. I mean, I used to fall asleep in my little bedroom in my apartment on Beaumont Avenue, listening to the Clippers games. And I remember at that time, they were going to redo. Here's a little bit of history for you, Nestor and Martin. I don't know if you remember. They had a big proposal. They were chasing an NHL team that far
back. Late 60s.
And they had a big proposal to redo the arena. And Dorothy L'Amour, the famous Hollywood actress, was on the Civic Center Commission, and she fought and defeated a renovation of the Civic Center that time that would have created seats on because she didn't want to lose the stage. So we lost potentially an NHL team at that time.
And an NBA team we already had.
Dorothy L'Amour
of Nine Grateful Dead concerts.
Didn't want.
And Elvis.
Didn't want to do that. Nestor, I know we're rushed. You said you had an emotional reaction to the news. Yeah. What was that?
I love that old dump. And, you know, I mean, and if anybody sees Frank Remish, let him know that I love that old dump. But, you know, I just got great memories there. So for me, it has some Memorial Stadium, Lambeau Field, Fenway Park sort of quality. I'll tell you this, and this is God's honest truth. And Martin, you chase bands all over places. You've been places, and you know some of these places that have similar buildings, Rochester, Providence, Harper, that were built in that period of time with a stage at the end or whatever. They're all kind of gone now. All those Akron Civic Centers and stuff, like they've all been replaced. So there is a part of this, and I know it's not functional, even though it's had. Let's go through U2, the Eagles, the Guns N' Roses are playing there. The Stones have played there in the last 50. So you know, Pearl Jam was the thing I was supposed to. So don't give me the, well, it's Baltimore and it sucks and it's all. It's always got world-class events. I mean,
Nestor, so, I've seen Bruce there twice. I've seen Buffett there.
I forgot Bruce.
I mean, I saw a Born to Run tour there. And then when he came back and Buffett.
I bet this is lore. The last time that Clarence Clemens ever played the song Jungle Land was here at that arena.
On the Born to Run tour.
Not Born to Run. No? That's the 75 tour you're talking about?
No, this one. Remember Bruce?
Clarence has been dead for a long time.
Don, just
trust me on this.
No, listen.
The 09 tour was not the Born to Run tour.
No. But what he did in the 09 tour.
Oh, he did albums.
Correct.
I'm thinking River and you're thinking Born to Run. Okay, he was doing a different album every night. He did Born to Run here.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
He did Darkness up the street, as I remember.
That's what I meant.
But yes. Okay. Well, nonetheless, my emotions are, you know, I don't think it's bringing a hockey team or a basketball team or any of those things that I spent so much talking about. And Martin, when you get rich on air and I get rich on Baltimore Positive, we'll put all of our money together. We'll get Stuart Bainum and we'll bring minor league hockey back to Baltimore because that's all I ever wanted to do. When you Baltimore Skipjacks, win.
Yeah.
There
fight,
we go.
Fight. No?
All right. Advanced Indoor Resources. Our buddy, Martin Knott. Give him a call. Reach out. The Air LLC.
How many dead shows this summer, dude?
I'm a bunch. It'll be fun. I've got, you know, the cool thing is, and I don't want to extend you guys. I know you're on a tight schedule, but the cool thing is that we're all now able to do this with our kids. who, like, if you're an obsessed deadhead like me, like, you listen to Grateful Dead all the time. Your kids hear it. They learn the words. Next thing you know, they're singing it. Next thing you know, they're, like, downloading it and playing it all the time. That's certainly been the experience in my house. And
at least it wasn't Jethro Tull.
And you can go with your kids and have that experience and have them have that experience, which is, you know, this beautiful, you know, freedom and the love of music and connection with, you know, the being outside and nature and all these other wonderful things, community. I mean, you walk around a Grateful Dead parking lot, you learn a little something about a community and how communities come together and work together.
I never took those balloons when I was there. I said, nah, I'm not doing that.
Well, you missed out.
Hey, Martin, real quick.
Yeah, I will. I'll do a couple for you in your honor. You know, all the ones you might have done. I'll see if I can.
You
catch
had a
up.
Great. You had a great picture, and it warmed my heart because it's where I am. You had a great picture of you and your family and an Orioles game. As bad as we are,
it was awesome.
But you just talked about the joy of being. Talk about that and connect it. Because Nestor and I are going to talk about Father's
Day. Yeah, help
him
sell some tickets for these people.
We're going to talk Father's Day.
I'm going to Bowie.
We're going to talk about Father's Day on the Recon. Talk about that experience of being out there with your family and just the memories and what it brought up to you.
It was awesome. You know, our family has been involved in the Orioles since Mr. Angelos bought the team. They were part of that group. My grandfather was at the time. And so, you know, the Orioles hold a, you know, special place in, I think, you know, everybody's hearts. I mean, there's not a person here that doesn't love the Orioles. And so, you know, we went, it was great. We were in the sun. You know, I wanted to get down by the action, you know, cause it's cool to see a baseball game there and you can do it at Camden Yards and, you know, it's a quiet stadium and you can really sort of watch a baseball game, which I thought was great, but the sun was so hot. And we decided, you know what, let's go up to the upper deck. And I got back up to the upper deck. There was a great breeze. It was absolutely beautiful.
You went for the air. Did you get something. That?
The get air that? Was just air. Spectacular up there, right? And so we were all, you know, healthy because of that. But being there with my kids, looking out over Baltimore, you know, watching the Orioles, you know, they're on a, you know, couple, they're not winning every game. But you know what? You know, we were dancing during the seventh inning stretch and we all had a great time. You know, the dance cam's going around and people are out there having fun. And guess what? Going to Oriole games is a lot of fun. And going with your family on Father's Day, check the box. Awesome.
Can't get anybody. My grandson, Martin, recently made, I told him it has to be a record. He's 9 years old, about to turn 10, loves the Orioles. We were out there 2 weeks in a row for different things. And he made dance cam on the big screen both weeks. He might as well, he could go to heaven right now. You know, he made dance cam twice.
And that when you make dance awesome. Cam, your father and mother take a picture of it. And then I see
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, that's a big deal. Like if you're like, let me tell you something, if you're making dance cam, you can dance and you're having fun. You know,
you're having fun.
And right. That's what it's all about. I savored the hot dog. It was wonderful. I couldn't wait to get there and eat a hot dog, you know, and drink a beer. And
say, I got still nothing better than a ball.
Listen, Don and I are going to argue about this with baseball because he went to Bowie last week. Luke went to Bowie last week. I haven't been a minor league game in 10 years. And we're going to get a lot of baseball in here. Martin, it's always good to visit with you. I know you're busy. It's tough to get you on. Martin Knott is running a thing he calls AIR, A-I-R, Advanced Indoor Resources. The challenge has been accepted. You can find them at theairllc.com. I am wearing the Fade Lee t-shirt. They sponsor us.
There
we're looking
are.
Forward to getting some fresh air down at the Lexington Market and getting back to eating seafood, eating crab cakes, the crab cake tour ahead. We got the line out on Brandon Scott. We got Johnny O later on in the month. We're all set up for Stuart Pittman to be joining us down in Anne Arundel County later on next month. And we kick it all off up in Harford County with County Executive Barry Glassman up at Barrett's in Bel Air next week for the 4th State Fair. Chairs are out. Everything's happening around. It's even Chicken Palooza with our friends at Royal Farms. I am Nestor. I'm former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.